You know what time it is. Time to hang out
with Mr. Cooper.
With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper.
Get the ladies cool.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Hang with Mr. Cooper.
With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper.
Get the ladies cool.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Welcome to the Bit Scoop with Coop. I'm your host, Coop. Big shout outs to everyone that's listening on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to, big shout outs to you. If you want to catch the video version of this show, make sure you go to my website to catch full episodes at thebigscoopwithcoop.com. Also on YouTube at youtube.com/thebigscoopwithcoop. You can also catch a 15-minute preview of this episode right here on Instagram at Big Scoop with Coop. All right, people, enough about me. Today's guest, you have seen her, especially if you're in Eastern North Carolina. She has graced the TV screens on WRAL-TV. She is a 3-time Regional Emmy Award winner. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Renee Chu. Now, Renee has been doing big things. She has covered so many events that you have seen all over your television, from the 2016 Summer Olympics to any storms, anything that's going on in North Carolina. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk to Renee. We're going to find out what's going on. We're going to talk a little bit about WRAL News. We're going to talk about her career and more. So sit back and relax and enjoy this episode of The Bit Scoop with Coop with Renee Chu.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Anytime, anytime. How's your day so far?
Well, you're catching me on the end of my day. So I've been, my work day anyway, I've been up since when the alarm went off at 2:30 this morning. Been doing 5.5 hours of live news. Just got done with our hour-long noon newscast. And, you know, I was just thinking, I'm used to being the one asking the questions and doing the interview. It's kind of strange to have the tables turned. I'm honored that you want to talk to me.
Of course, of course. And I'm going to love this, having the tables turned on you. That's right. You usually do ask the questions, and you have done so much in your career already, Renee. But for the people that's getting introduced to you for the first time, when did you first realize that you wanted to get into the news industry?
So this has been a dream of mine ever since I was in, even elementary and middle school. So even as a child, my parents said that I just would always be like talking to people. I always wanted to have a conversation with folks, that I was outgoing and just loved to talk. And then in middle school, I just distinctly remember how with my family, we would always watch the national news broadcasts. And at that time, this was in the late 80s, early 90s, Connie Chung was on the air. If you remember, when she was on, some of the people watching may remember that. And that was defining for me. I mean, seeing her on the news, someone who looked like me, who was delivering news to a national audience, to me was just amazing. And it planted a seed in my head that said, you know, I would love to do something like that. I think maybe I could do something like that. I thought it was really fascinating that, you know, just all the different stories and assignments and really informing a community about what was going on. And so although, you know, I thought of not necessarily the national stage, but just journalism in general, that's what really planted the seed for me. And so through middle school and high school, you know, I was the editor of the school paper. I loved writing, especially. And then when I got to college and I knew I wanted to major in journalism, which is what I did, I just thought the future was in television. I felt like maybe newspapers were going to die. Well, certainly they're still around. So, and that's great for, you know, society and great for democracy. But I just thought the future was in television. And I thought it would be great to be able to combine speaking skills and photography skills and writing skills and roll it all into one, and then also help serve the community in that way. And so this was a path that I just always wanted to follow. And strangely enough, I am still doing it almost 20 years at WREL already. And 5 years before that, I was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, doing local news. So it's just something I've always loved doing.
That is awesome, Renee. You know what, Renee, I tell people in previous episodes and previous seasons also, when you have that gift or you have that installed inside of you that you want to do something at a young age, even a current age, it doesn't leave. It's going to be somewhere inside of you. And look at you, you continue your career and you have been blowing up ever since. I got to give you big shout outs for that, Renee. You have been doing big things, continue to do big things. Yes, yes. Now, from the beginning of your career up to now, what type of hurdles did you go through to get to where you are now?
Well, truthfully, even just starting out in this business, that was a huge hurdle. I mean, even though I said this was always a dream of mine, didn't necessarily mean that it would come easily or it would come naturally. So even though I got my degree in broadcast journalism, I went to one of the best journalism schools in the country, University of Missouri. For anyone who's, you know, if anyone younger is watching this and, you know, they're thinking about going to journalism, highly recommend Mizzou. But I digress. So even though I felt like I was well prepared for all that, I had some experience under my belt. My professors were very encouraging, you know, with my potential. When I was a senior and I was sending out, you know, resume tapes to different stations across the country, and we're talking, you know, small market. I was not expecting to go to New York City or LA right out of college by any means. I was applying to, you know, realistic, small market. Hey, will you take me as a reporter? And I'm telling you, by the time I got to graduation, still got zero offers while I had a number of my peers already, you know, be scooped up, you know, to this city and that city. Wow. So I graduated, you know, over the summer. I still worked at the college station there, which is the NBC affiliate, working on my writing, working on my photography skills, just trying to get more live reports in and really working on my whole delivery, just trying to get better. And still applying, getting rejection after rejection. I would take a road trip, you know, and go visit stations, news directors, and get feedback, you know, try to, you know, get a critique, right? What can I improve? And a lot of times they would sit there and say, well, you know, you look really young. You look really young. And I said, well, you know, I don't know. I can't do anything about looking like I'm 12. I don't know. I'm not sure what I could do about that. And they're like, well, you know, you just need someone who looks a little more credible, or maybe you, you know, aren't fitting, you know, you're not looking the way that, you know, we kind of need right now. And so it was extremely discouraging. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, am I meant to do this? Do I have a future in this? And so about 4 months after graduation, and that felt like a long time, I finally got an offer from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the ABC affiliate there. And let me tell you, I never thought I would, you know, go to Iowa, had never been to Iowa. But you know what? All you need is one yes, right? One yes to get you in the door. And still so grateful for that news director, Bob Smith, who took a chance on me. I went to Iowa, didn't know anybody, didn't know, you know, saw a lot of snow, a lot of cold weather, covered the Iowa caucuses, you know, but it was a great starting ground for me. And that's where I got my experience. That's where I got some of my confidence and really worked on things. And that launched me here to WREL, to Raleigh. And because it's so awesome living here, I haven't wanted to leave.
Don't blame you. I don't blame you. Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird to me, and especially in the news industry, when some people say you don't look the way you need to. You're here to bring the news, what we need to know. This is not Miss America. This is a beauty pageant. Talking about why I need to look a certain way? They want to know what's going on behind me, in front of me, beside me. They want to hear what's coming out your mouth. I mean, geez. True. Yeah.
And I so appreciate that, you know, but I also have to be realistic, and we also have to be realistic about how people view the news, and it is a visual medium.
Right.
You certainly want the people on air to be reflective of the community that you serve. So in that aspect, that is important. You want women and men, you know, on the air as well. But, and I can't tell you how many people, emails I've gotten over the years about, you know, people might not notice what you're saying, but they're always noticing what you're wearing, what your hair is like, you know, your makeup. Hey, where'd you get that dress? You know, so it's an interesting business for sure. And, you know, what people notice. But you're right. I hope people can focus on the stories that we bring them, the information that we're bringing. That, of course, is what's important and what we focus on.
That's true. And, you know, it's a social media era now. So, you know, looks is everything. Looks is everything now. So I definitely get it. Now, Renee, did you have any mentors to help you out in the beginning of your career?
I did. My college professor, Stacy, who's actually a man, was one of my biggest mentors and biggest cheerleaders as far as really working with me and helping to develop my talent. He was just a great mentor to a lot of the student journalists there at University of Missouri. I also had a chance to intern at the NBC affiliate WDIV in Detroit. I'm originally from Michigan. So on a summer internship, I worked there, and I got to work with Emery King, who was White House correspondent for NBC News way back in the day. I don't know if you remember him, but then he became a longtime anchor in Detroit, where he's from. And then he, you know, established a foundation and all that. Anyway, so Emery King was, he was like a legend, and he was a super big time legend in Detroit. And that was awesome working with him and seeing how he navigated, not just being on air, but the behind the scenes stuff and really being able to share what it was like for him to start out and how he got to even network level and then, you know, back to local news level.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. Big shout outs to all your mentors. I hope you're watching this right now. Make sure you check them all out. Make sure you continue to check out Renee. Ladies and gentlemen that's watching worldwide right now, make sure you take down these nuggets, because Renee is telling you what she went through to get to where she's at today. So make sure you check that out. Now, Renee, let's talk about it real quick. Mm-hmm. I told you, everybody's seeing you, especially Eastern North Carolina. WRAL.
Everybody.
But yeah, everybody. Come on. Everybody got to go by the channel. They stop. They definitely do. Now, how excited were you when you first realized that you received this position at WRAL News?
Absolutely thrilled. I had spent 5 years in Iowa. I was ready for a change. As much as I love the friends I made there, love my coworkers, and love the experience, that was just not going to be a place I knew I was going to see myself long term. I knew I wanted something bigger. But here's the thing. When I was in Iowa, I met a guy named Mike, who later became my husband. So we had started dating, and at the time, and my contract was coming up, and I was starting to look for other jobs. So that conversation included him as to, okay, where might you want to go if it's not in Iowa, right? And so we had designated some cities. He's originally from Montana, and he's not a big, you know, big city guy. So we came up with the list, and Raleigh was on that list, or actually Research Triangle Park, because he was kind of more like medical biotech field. Anyway, so I said, Research Triangle Park, Raleigh, North Carolina. Never been there, but I'll see what's happening there. That sounds like that could be a nice place. And in years past, I had gone to journalism conferences, you know, always industry conferences, great places to network, of course. And I had met Ken Smith, who had just started at WREL. Of course, he's one of our anchors and reporters here a long time as well. Got here before me, but I knew that he was working at WREL. So I said, okay, well, that's the station in Raleigh. Let me, you know, talk to him and see what's Raleigh like, what's WREL like. When I reached out to him, what do you know? WREL was looking for a reporter. So, okay, let me, you know, slip my tape in and, you know, okay, can you get this to, you know, the boss that makes those decisions? And so through Ken, you know, the news director got to see my tape and called me in for an interview. That was the first time that I had ever been to Raleigh. I remember flying into RDU and going, look at all these trees. It's so green here, you know, because I was so flat. And I'm like, wow, this place is lush. You know, it's just so vibrant. And, you know, as soon as I toured WREL, I mean, it was just a, you know, bigger station with all the resources, you know, cubicles everywhere, you know, busy, busy, busy. Oh, we got a helicopter, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I just, in talking with the folks, I just felt like it was going to be a real good fit. So as a result of Mike kind of suggesting even putting this on the radar and then me looking at this particular station, it just, you know, the stars aligned. It all just worked out. And here I've been.
I love it. Renee, yeah. I'll give you a quick story real quick. I remember when I first met Lena Tillett and Gerald Owens. We was at the state fair. So, you know, you guys set up your little booths where you can pass out the kitchen magnet, sign it, take pictures.
You know, you got to get your WREL stuff, you know, the bag, the mug.
So this is how TV tricked me so badly. So I did not know Gerald was that tall in real life. So I'm 5'7", 5'8". Okay. I'm walking up, and I'm in the middle between Lena and Gerald taking a picture. And
because they're sitting down, right?
No, we're standing up.
Oh, you're standing up now. Okay.
No, I'm sitting down right now. Oh, I'm sitting down right now.
But no, I know you are. No, I said when you met them at the state fair, were they sitting down? Because then you can't tell how tall people are. Yeah.
Yes, they were. And then they both said, hey, would you like to take a picture? I said, sure. And when they stood up, I said, oh my gosh. So I'm in the middle of them. Renee, no lie, I wanted to stand on my tiptoes so bad. I said, I'm not going to make them laugh in the middle of this picture.
Well, and Lena's got some height on her, too.
She does.
Especially if she's wearing heels. So were you shorter than her?
I got to see the picture, and I'm going to have to send you that picture also, Renee. I'm in the middle looking like this, and then this, and then this. And I'm like, no, no, no.
Okay.
I said, let's take the picture.
Next to Gerald, everyone looks tiny. Okay. Just tiny. Every once in a while, I might have to do the evening shift. And so I have anchored with Gerald before, and, our new set is now about five years old now, but like the old set, when we used to have it in the newsroom, I don't know if you remember that look, but, the way the setup was, if we would stand like at a certain point, we had boxes, you know, we had boxes that different people could stand so that we could be not necessarily the same height, but at least, you know, I'm not coming up to, you know, Gerald's midsection or something, you know, that at least it would kind of level out a little bit. So I've definitely stood on top of those boxes. I've shamelessly used those boxes because this is like, all right, I'm just too short right now. And he's just, you know, the nicest guy and a giant.
Yes.
And, we say that affectionately.
Lena, Gerald, I know you're watching this. Next time you go to the state fair, bring one of those boxes, because if I take a picture again, I'm standing on that box. You're not going to outdo me this time. I promise you that. Big shout out to the whole WREL crew.
We loved doing, you know, the state fair and getting to meet folks. And you know, the setup's different every year, but a lot of times now we're just kind of sitting, so people kind of take a picture. So then you don't have that height differential. But Michael, if you ever take a picture with me, you will look very tall. I guarantee.
Renee, we're taking a picture next time.
You know, I'm 5'3" and a half. The half is very important. With heels, you know, I might be 5'5", 5'6". So you'll be standing tall next to me.
We're going to take a picture next time I'm at the State Fair and you're there. And we're going to do this. We definitely are. Now, Renee, can you explain to people, because people watch the news and they're seeing people talk and then you see some people reporting. Can you please explain to everybody what is an anchor or slash reporter? What is their true duty?
Well, I would say we have the same duties of telling the stories, informing viewers, talking to folks, getting information. But really, I guess the most noticeable difference is where we are. So the anchors will be in the station. They'll usually be in studio and they will pretty much host the entire newscast. So you'll see them and hear from them for most of the half hour or the hour, right? They're the people that start the show, end the show, and kind of, you know, conduct everything in between. And the reporters are the ones who are out in the field, is the, you know, the conversational term, but we out on location. They're live from whatever, you know, town hall meeting or rally or some big breaking news story, a crash that happened on the Beltline. They're out there live at the scene, gathering information on that one particular story and being the expert on that story. Whereas the anchor kind of works with producers to kind of, you know, to deliver the whole newscast. Okay, here's our half hour or hour news. What do folks need to know about today? So like for the morning news, it's like, what do they need to know to start their day? And then, you know, when you wake up in the mornings and you turn on the TV, the anchors are who you see there in the studio. And the reporters are also bringing you the big stories that are unfolding at that hour.
So, Renee, you have worn both hats. Which one do you like the best?
Ooh.
On the spot.
Yes. Yeah, so early in my career, right? Yeah, I've done a lot of the reporting and I enjoyed that. Look, I enjoy both aspects quite a bit. And I think the reporter to the anchor is a natural progression. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a lot like, you know, being a teacher or a principal. Okay. I mean, which is better? So the teacher's in the classroom, really hands-on, working with students. There's, you know, that direct interaction. And then the principal is kind of bigger picture, stepping away, maybe more in a leadership role. And you can still have those relationships, right, and those connections, but it's just in a different way. And so with reporting, it was great to, you know, every day go out and, you know, you meet a different person, you're talking with a different individual, you're learning about all kinds of things. Sometimes you try to set up your story. Sometimes it's like, okay, there's breaking news. Renee, you got to go over here. You know, you're headed out to Durham, you're headed to Roxborough, you're headed to Rocky Mount. Okay, you know, here's what you got to cover. And there's always something new every day, right? So there's that excitement, you know, and really being able to learn about the community. With an anchor, it's being in, you know, this position. And, you know, you said people are maybe if they're watching WRL, they're used to seeing my face. So, you know, wherever I go, inevitably there might be someone who's just like, hey, Renee, you know, calling out my name or saying hi. And it's like, oh, I don't want to bother you. Just want to say hi, you know, and I'm always saying, it's not a bother. It's not a bother for you to come up and talk to me. I'm glad that you did. It's nice to, you know, meet people on the other side of the camera. You know, I'm just talking to a camera and I don't get to see those connections as much. But of course, there's social media too. So I enjoy connecting people with people on that platform as well. Nice. So it's tough. It's like, oh, you know, which is my favorite child? I don't know.
Flip a coin.
I like flip a coin. And, you know, both have been great experiences in, you know, in my journalistic career.
Nice. Now, Renee, I want to talk about one other thing that you have done. And on the low, I'm jealous about it. I wish I could have been there.
Okay.
2016.
Yeah.
Gosh. Tell everybody what you covered in 2016, because I wish I could have been there.
The Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, it was amazing. And I'm so glad you brought this up, but definitely one of the highlights of my career. When I think about, you know, the tough days in broadcast journalism, it's not always, you know, glamorous, as you might know, while covering a lot of storms and standing a lot of hurricanes and snow and ice and crime scenes and all that. Every once in a while, you get a little payoff. And that is when you get to go cover the Olympics and you're part of the NBC network and your station sends you to go cover the local athletes that are competing. And then you also get to see some of the star athletes that are known nationally. So, so cool.
What was your highlight? What was your highlight out there that you remember?
Well, it was really cool seeing the Today Show set. You know, they do a whole production there and got to meet Al Roker and Hoda Kotb and Savannah. So, so that was fun to see and do. Ryan Lochte, if you remember him, the swimmer, he had a like bizarre hair. He bleached it. It was all green. He was an interesting character. And of course there was a little bit of scandal with him later. So, yeah. but I did get to meet him. And even talking with some of the gymnasts. So, I didn't get to talk to Simone Biles, but I did get to watch her compete. But I didn't talk to her in Rio. Sorry. I talked to her in New York City at an event leading up to the Olympics. So I was able to get a picture with her and chat with her really quick. But Lori Hernandez over, you know, one of the awesome gymnasts there and getting the team medal. So it was amazing.
Wow. Wow. Once again, I was really jealous that you was there. Yeah. And I wish I could have been there. Big shout outs to the Today Show. Big shout outs to everybody who was there at 2016. Olympics around the corner again, isn't it?
It is. Yes. The Paris Olympics for this summer. And right now, I will not get to go. No, that's all I can say, but I won't get to go. I'll be a viewer like you all. But I mean, we'll still be able to cover a lot of stuff from here too.
Nice.
But yeah, that was amazing. And I don't know if you remember at that time. So the mosquito virus Zika was a big thing. Okay. Yes. And the only reason why I bring that up was, well, like we had like, I mean, I sprayed myself with mosquito repellent constantly. There was like special spray for your clothes as well. The venue, that was another concern, I think, for some people, like, okay, would that deter spectators? And the organizer wanted to make sure, okay, to put people's worries, you know, to make people feel more comfortable about it. They sprayed that whole venue. Like, there was not a single mosquito that I saw while I was there, and it was like summertime in Rio. So, well, actually, sorry, it was Summer Olympics, but it's winter actually down there. Yeah. But it was so mild; it was still it felt like a light summer weather. Nice. In North Carolina. But I just remember that, and it was not a problem after all that fear about Zika and getting bitten and, you know, getting sick with the virus. We all stayed healthy, and it was all good.
Good. I love that. Yeah. I definitely love that. Safe travels there, safe travels back. You can't beat that. You definitely can't. Now, Renee, are there any other projects or future events that you're planning to work on that you want the world to know about right now?
Ooh. Maybe not so much projects as far as just, you know, a lot of exciting community events, you know, that will always come up. That's one of the things I love about this job, is just being able to get out in the community and host different fundraisers and events and things. So that's kind of my way of being able to connect with the community and seeing the viewers out there. Let's see. There are things that, yeah, I can't quite announce yet, but I'll definitely keep you posted.
Nice. I like that. I like that. Now, Renee, how can everybody catch you on social media to follow you for the latest and greatest of what you're doing?
Sure. Well, I'm on X and Instagram and Facebook. So Instagram and X, I still call it Twitter, but I know it's X. Choo Choo TV. So it's CHOUCHOUTV. And then on Facebook, it's WRL Renee Choo.
Nice, nice. Now, Renee, I got to admit one more thing, and I want to talk about it real quick because I've been following this on social media a lot, and I just want about you to speak on about 1 to 2 minutes. A lot of people are talking about this solar eclipse that's coming in April. Some people say it's going to be 3 to 5 days of darkness. Some people say it's going to be a few minutes. What is your take on this?
Okay. Well, can I say, it's always, I wake up in darkness. So I feel like every day is like an eclipse. So the darkness doesn't scare me if that's what's going to be. I know the predictions that come around. Okay. What does this mean? What's going to happen? And, look, I'm just hoping it happens at a time that I'm awake and I'm not taking a nap, and that I get to witness.
Do you feel like there's going to be what everybody is rumoring, that it's going to be so many days of darkness, or do you believe it's going to be a few minutes? Your predictions, nothing that is official.
Well, I got to leave it to the experts. I know. Are you hoping for one way or another?
Well, it'll be interesting because in my lifetime, I have not seen that the whole blackout for days. I've never seen it. And the only thing is, it's going to be a panic if that happens. A lot of people will be panicking.
Right.
So, of course.
We can talk about it in the abstract now, but when it happens, I'm sure it would be extremely frightening and cause the chaos and panic. And we don't want that.
That's true. That's true. Ladies and gentlemen, watch worldwide. Please stay safe during this if that happens.
Yes. Let's all stay rational.
Yes.
Calm.
Yes.
We must stay calm and carry on. Look, we got through a pandemic. I think we'll be able to get
last
through
3 to 5 days if it lasts that long. Exactly. Right. Now, Renee,
I hope electricity and TVs and devices will still work because we'll be covering the darkness and what will happen once that eclipse happens.
That's what I'm talking about. Make sure you stay in tune with WRAL. They're going to bring the latest news on that if something big happens. Make sure you do it. Renee, what advice would you give any male or female if they want to become in the news industry, if they want to join the news industry?
I would say be curious. You know, ask those questions. You know, if you're wondering about, okay, how does that work? Or why is that the way it is? I don't know the answer, but I'm going to find out. You know, that curiosity will lead you to some really interesting stories and informative stories. And perhaps, you know, other people are asking the same question and you kind of need to dig, right, to find out the answers and maybe uncover some hard truths or perhaps shed light on a situation that people didn't know about. And then maybe people can start brainstorming solutions. So that is an incredible quality to have as a journalist. And on the flip side is also be a good listener. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to talk a lot and it's good to express yourself and express your opinions. You don't want dead air. You got to keep up the conversation, keep up the banter. But when you're talking with folks, listen, be a good listener. And that will often, ignite some other questions that kind of lead to that conversation. Like Michael, I think you're doing a great job with this interview. You know, I love your interaction. I love that you're listening, right, to what I have to say, but then also, you know, kind of taking things in a different direction as well if you're curious about something, right? So those qualities, you know, and don't give up, you know, don't be persistent. Don't take no for an answer, you know, the first, second, third time around, right? Sure. Journalists are used to getting rejected. You got to work past that. You got to be resourceful, find another way around it. There's not always one way to do one thing or one way to find out about something. Be persistent and that persistence will pay off.
I like that. I like it. Now, Renee, this is the last segment of the show. Of course, it's called Take the Floor. You have 2 minutes to say whatever you want. No questions asked. Renee Chu, take the floor.
Okay. All right, Michael. I think this day and age, we need to stop asking the question, when are you going to have children? When are you going to have a child? Oh, and are you pregnant? People need to stop asking these questions. If you're a stranger, do not ask these questions. You have no right to ask these questions. And even if you're a close friend, there is another way to find out perhaps what you're thinking or wanting to talk about in a less intrusive way, because those questions are emotionally loaded, they're intrusive, and they can really be triggering for someone. And the reason is you don't know a person's full story. You don't know if maybe they have been battling infertility for years, that they've been trying to have a baby for years and years, and your question doesn't help. Your question does not help with that pain and despair that that woman, that couple is going through. You don't need to feed into that. You may not think that you're doing that, but that can trigger a lot of despair and devastation. Or maybe they had a miscarriage, all right? Maybe they just lost their baby. And now here's somebody wondering, hey, are you pregnant? When are you due? No, do not ask that. There's nothing worse than asking that. And people may be well-meaning. They may just, wanting to start a conversation or, feel like, they're doing a nice thing because you're curious. But people's plans to have a baby or start a family, that's nobody's business. And if they want to tell you, they will tell you. All right. If you want to be a good friend, there are other ways to go about asking that. You can say, hey, is there anything new with you? Hey, what's happening with you? Let them, take the reins to reveal the news or reveal the struggles that they're going through. But any woman, no matter what stage in life, it seems like, people always like to ask these questions, and we just need to do away with those questions. Stop doing it. Do not ask if someone is pregnant, even if it seems so obvious to you. Don't ask a woman in the grocery store, hey, when are you due? Don't do that either. Okay. The woman may, be going through a tough time, may be on medication that makes them, a little heavier at that point. It's none of your business. You don't need to ask these things unless the woman tells you about, their pregnancy or whatever it may be. Stop asking those questions. Let's just, as a society, do away with that.
You heard it here first, people. Be kind, be thoughtful on what you say. That's all you have to do. Renee, I want to thank you for coming on the show. This has been an excellent show, and I would love to have you back on in the future.
Oh, thank you so much for talking with me, and I love your enthusiasm. I love your energy. I love that you're doing this and talking to all kinds of people and being a great journalist, and I just enjoyed this conversation. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Next time on the Bit Scoop with Coop People, my next guest is... You know I don't announce my next guest. You got to make sure you follow me on social media to catch up with the latest and greatest and find out who's coming on next. All right, people, until the next time on the Bit Scoop with Coop. Peace.